Hello, this is Michelle. Is anybody on?
Yeah. Hi, Michelle. Tony
yeah.
here from New Zealand.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good.
Hi, Michelle. This is Jamuna here from India.
Hi, Jamuna. Hi, how are you?
Hi, doing good.
You have a little bit of a funny connection. You sound a little robotic. Your connection. I don't know if you might want to. If we sound funny too, if you might want to try and call back in. I think that's
okay.
You, Jamuna.
Let me do that.
Okay.
I'm Michelle
calling in from Australia.
Hi, I just heard Australia. Who's calling in from Australia?
It's Ian. Ian.
Ian, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Michelle. It's Edward from California.
Hi, how are you?
Good, just out daring with my dogs.
What? I'm sorry? Who is that?
What?
I'm Michelle Lean from Pittsburgh.
Hi. I think we have a big call because I know a couple of people start to talk. That's the fun part of the group call where everybody... It's quiet all at once, and everybody talks all at once, and then it's quiet again. sometimes there's a delay on some people then, so that sort of explains why it's kind of like that, just to let everybody know. And also for anybody who hasn't been on the calls yet, maybe you're just catching this one as the last one. If there's any sort of background noise, if you could just mute yourself so that because it's amplified on the call, and then just unmute yourself if you'd like to talk in. And that's fine too. I forgot to say this before. I have this little tab here that if for some reason, I'm going to open this up, somebody needs to send a question or has a question and just cannot talk on the call or there's a whole lot of background noise or maybe they have to jump off early and they want to, you know, make sure something's addressed. There's a way if you're connected on this. I don't know how you do it on your end, but I have a place that I can get incoming questions. And I rarely use that page because for the most part, most people, you know, we try and address most everything. But if for some reason you'd like to send in a message, if you're connected to the teleseminar, you know, through your computer, you can type in a question somehow and it appears on my computer and I'll try to get to it, before the call ends. I'll just keep going back on and checking it. Okay. So. This is the last call on the last day of the 10-day boot camp. I just want to touch on a few things. I will absolutely not talk as long as I did on the last call. We will end on time tonight. I do have another phone call around 9:30. So, yeah, that one was way long. Sorry about that. But I do want to make sure everybody gets, you know, a set amount of information so that you have it all moving forward. This is the just to check in before I start off. Is anybody having trouble accessing the information? Did everybody get the updates from our last call? Is everybody able to access the texts and the videos and all of that? Any problems?
Nope.
No, I'm okay.
That's good. Good. There's always somebody with a technological problem. This is great. So anyway, this is great. The last day. It's focused on today, but this has really been what all 10 days have been leading up to, making and maintaining good habits. Because that's really what this is. And I know maybe when you first started boot camp 10 days ago, it seemed like you were, you know, at war with yourself and just battling this monster and at this never-ending fight, so exhausted, but I think as most people probably are getting now, it's just this weird sort of habit that picks up on its own. And we don't realize how powerful our minds are, that we have the power to sort of get the cycle going. And we also have the power to break the cycle. It doesn't mean make all the discomfort go away, but it means you have the power to decide what to do in response to the discomfort, however that discomfort manifests. So making and maintaining good habits is really what we're trying to do with this 10-day program. That's why you're getting the text in the morning, the text in the evening, all of the support from Suzanne on the Facebook pages. The group calls with me, the group calls with Barry. It's all to just really reinforce and learning a new pattern. But again, like I spoke on the last call, if you're learning a new language, you have to sort of immerse yourself in the language if you're really going to get it. If you're learning piano, you can't practice 5 minutes a month. You have to just sit and practice and really, really be mindful of it, of how to, you know, how to put take certain techniques in place until your body sort of learns it. And that's really the goal of this. It's to just constantly, and I know you're, after a while, I'm sure you've all noticed, you're hearing basically the same sort of thing over and over. But we're trying to present the same thing in different ways, because some people, after that fourth or fifth time through, but from another person in a different tone of a voice, it finally just clicks. And that's what we're hoping for. And every time, you know, Barry goes through and puts out a new version of the program, we try and make it click faster and better for more people, you know, as soon as possible. So now that we've sort of laid down these good habits, it's about regular reinforcement. So I know most people, but when they start, they're like, I can't do this 10 days, or it's kind of like a, oh, well, whatever, we'll try it. We'll see if this works, this, you know, this sort of, whatever, I've done all these other programs, let's try this one, this one's the one that's supposed to really fix it all, we'll see. And a lot of people go in with a little, like a smirk. And then after the 10 days, I usually hear, you can't let us, what do you mean 10 days? Where am I going to be my text from Barry in the morning? So it's really about learning how to now take the reins yourself and give yourself your own reinforcement. And that's really what that XFX sheet is for. Was everybody able to access that sheet, that goal sheet?
Yep.
Okay, good. So, I mean, you don't want to get, you know, messages from Barry and me and Suzanne the rest of your life. I mean, you might, because we're so enjoyable to talk to. However, the point of it is to take what we've given you and find ways to sort of, you know, make it work for you in your own life and to have you reinforce it to yourself. You know, when you don't want to run behind your child when they're learning to ride a bicycle forever, at some point you're going to let go. And there again, it's that time, that space in between where they'll wobble, they'll fall, they won't quite get it. But the more they do that and the more they get back on and keep practicing, the more confidence that's grown. So now it's time to sort of pass the reins on to you. And something like this goal sheet is a great, again, it couldn't get any simpler, right? Have you all read it, looked into it? It could not be simpler. It's just a grid. And you identify a goal, and I just want to go through a couple of hints and you know, tips on how to really create good goals. Basically, it's, you know, you do it for those 49 days. You really want to set a pattern, and if you've achieved your goal, the box gets a check. If you did not achieve your goal, the box gets a circle. And what you just want to try and do is just not have two circles in a row, because you want to, you know, maintain consistency. My suggestions on when you make a goal, just in case anybody's made one already and might want to fine-tune it today or is still coming up with theirs, or my New Zealanders or Australians that are on the call, you're just getting started today. I'll start you off nice and early. When you set a goal, I would always suggest try and make it tangible, attainable, and realistic. I've had a lot of people come on, and even when you move, if people move into the Dare Advance program too, which I'll mention to you as well in a couple minutes, you know, it's focused on really, you know, what's the goal for the week and how did it go, and, you know, let's, you know, talk through it and what was great and what was not great. usually when I hear the goal, let's say the goal is related to driving, and somebody comes on and they say, okay, my goal is to drive as, you know, just go out and drive more. That's so vague, right? And for us, our, you know, like we talked on the last call, our perfectionists, the black and whites, it's, we'll find something in there to make it like, oh, well, we didn't quite achieve. I didn't do good enough. But if there's no set, you know, like a tangible expectation on what that goal is, it'll be hard to say if that's a check or not. So tangible, really, I try and say I wouldn't make that goal drive as much as I can, as far as I can. I would say my goal is to drive for whatever, 10 minutes. I would give it a time limit, or I would give it a particular destination, or, you know, go inside two restaurants each week or each day, or something that you can do daily that once you've done it, you've either done it or you haven't done it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
At the same time, when some people say, you know, I'm going to do it for as long as I can, when you really break that down, what usually ends up happening is, all right, I'm going to go out and drive and drive and drive as long as I can, which means until the sensations get really too strong and they're just so strong, I just can't deal with it anymore, and I turn around and go home. That's like so 10 days ago, right? We all know that. That's not what we're doing anymore. It's about okay, I'm going with the purpose of looking for those sensations. Not if they come, I leave. If they come, I go further. And I go faster. And I go harder, right? I'm actually looking for all these things that I used to fight against. And the goal is to sort of walk around with my arms open. And should they come, then I'm going to go right towards that particular thing. And make them realistic. You know, if you haven't left your house in 5 years, you know, your goal for tomorrow is not going to be, you know, fly to New York and take Michelle out for lunch. Maybe next month, but, you know, watch your mailbox first and get into town and get back out doing things. Because you really want to have that snowball effect where it's, you know, you're building confidence saying, wow, look what I can do with these sensations, and doing it all the time. It really takes reinforcement. It's just like the gym analogy we spoke about last week. If you go to the gym for 12 minutes once a month, you're going to look like you go to the gym for 12 minutes once a month, right? You get out what you put in, right? So when it comes to this, you want to put in and put in and put in the practice, which is putting in being uncomfortable. And it's not about what you get out is not comfort. You're not going to put in, I'm going to let myself be uncomfortable so that I can be comfortable. It's so that I can build strength to not fight this idea that I need to get rid of the discomfort. A little backwards, but does everybody get that now for the most part? I know that's one of the trickiest things to really get when you start. Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, good. So I would like to give the rest of the call to you guys. I already talked for about 15, 20 minutes. And I'd love to hear what everybody's goals are for this XFX sheet. I'd love to hear just in general feedback from how you're doing, what changes you've seen and noticed from day one to today, and if it was great, if it was awful, suggestions you have, where, you know, are you surprised at where you are, at maybe things you've been able to do that you didn't think you'd be able to do, or vice versa. I'd love to hear. I'd love to have any questions. But before I open it up, because in case I forget at the end of the call, there is, if people do want to continue on, that's usually one of the first questions I get. How do we stay in touch? We do have a DARE Advanced program. It involves 3 group calls a month, 2 with me and 1 with Barry. Mine have been on Thursday evenings at 8:30 till 9:15. It looks like a lot of people, I've been missing out on a lot of people in the UK, which is why Barry's been doing calls on Saturdays. I think 12 p.m. Eastern time. But I had so many people on my last call that I ran at 1 p.m. we might adjust the times. But overall, you get 3 group calls a month, 2 with me, 1 with Barry. Or you get moved into another Facebook group where you get to talk to people who have been through the programs before, some people who have come through years before, and they come back on really to offer motivation and support for people. It's great to hear back from people who have really kind of been through and come out the other end, and it's nice when they pop on the call. It's something ridiculous, like $25 a month, $30 a month, something like that. And you get 3 hours worth of group calls and all the continued support. But again, it's more like the ball's given back to you where now, rather than waiting for the work to be done when we're talking, the work is done in between. So all of your work is done during the week, going out, really kind of like hitting the gym when it comes to this stuff. And then we check back in, you know, on the three group calls to say, how did this go? How is this? Sort of fine-tune any sort of things that might be getting in the way, offer support. It's a really nice group. You start to know each other by voice. People have met up. You don't even know stories. People have just met up from around the world. If you move on to Dare Advance, I don't know if anybody's already signed up for it, but we just had somebody, one of member, fly from the U.S. over to New Zealand to meet up with another member, who then they both went out and ran some crazy marathon together. It was pretty awesome. But, yeah, it's amazing the program's taking people. So if people are looking for one-to-one calls, I also offer one-to-one calls. So does Suzanne. Barry does not at this time. But if you do want to be more in touch with Barry, he's on the group calls for the Dare Advance program. So I just would like to put that all out there. You do not have to sign up, but it is a way to have continued support. Some people might want to sign up just for a month or two at least, you know, just to have something to step down to, because I know it's so much support for 10 days, and then I know a lot of people don't like to just go cold turkey. And if you don't sign up for another couple weeks, that's fine too. You're always welcome to sign up. The really only requirement is that people have done some sort of boot camp so that everybody has the same basic level of knowledge and information and practice and understanding before everybody's in a group. So I hope that makes sense to everybody. And those calls are recorded as well and are available for the people in the Dare Advance program too. The Dare Bootcamp Facebook page, those are usually kept up for about a week or two, and then those are taken down. And then, you know, we try and get everybody moved into this one main group afterwards. So everybody gets to, you know, the new people, gets to know the old people, and you can scroll back and see all old videos and stories. And so this way everybody's sort of in one place. But I know there's little pop-up groups here and there because everybody gets close on these little boot camps. So with that being said, I'd love to just open up the call for the next, what do we have? We have about 40 minutes. So whoever would like to share, have questions, I would love to hear about the goals you're setting on the X Effect sheet and just in general your experience with the boot camp program. So the rest of the call is all yours, and feel free to respond back and forth to each other. You don't need to wait for me to call on you. You don't need to ask permission to talk. Nobody is on mute. And I'd love to hear from as many people as I can tonight, as able to talk, especially the quiet ones. So it's on you guys. Who'd like to share first or ask questions?
One of the great things I got into this was the fact that I'm not alone in this problem.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I'm hearing people from New Zealand, Australia, United States, Canada. You know, the problem is when I go out with people or my wife, and you know, I'm high anxiety because I'm surrounded by noise and that. I don't get the feeling they can understand. So I'm really glad that, you know, that I don't feel so alone, but, you know, reading what other people's problems on Facebook and hearing their stories there. So that's one of the key takeaways I got from this program. The other one was on the meditation. I always wanted to meditate, but I never had the incentive to do it. And then ever since Bear, you know, put it in as a goal there, I actually went out and purchased an app on my phone. It's got it. Not only is it guided, but it keeps you accountable. So every day you meditate, gives you a little checkbox, and it says you meditated 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row, and if you missed a day, it says, oh, why didn't you? So I've been up to, I think, up to 15, 20 minutes a night now, and I really, really, really enjoy that. I'm actually shocked how quiet my mind is. That's one of the key takeaways I've gotten from this, or second takeaway I've gotten from this is hopefully I can continue to meditate.
That's fantastic. You know, I'm sorry. I know I said I wasn't going to talk, but you'll see when I say things like that, I'm a big fat liar and I talk too much. But meditation, I never really mentioned that on my call. But if anybody had tried meditation before and it just didn't quite work for them, try it again. A lot of people try doing things like that when they first start with all of this. Again, as a way to, okay, let me just meditate and make everything quiet and go away, and please just be quiet. Obviously, when you're doing it with that mindset, it doesn't work. But when you're doing it for the overall approach of, I'm just learning to sit myself and just be quiet. We're not the kind of people that are just sitting quietly. Plus, if there's particular sensations that are your top triggers, like breathing and like heart rate, and you're so tuned into that when you're meditating, oftentimes that's difficult in the beginning. Has anybody ever noticed that before or had tried it and it just wasn't helping at all? Sometimes I hear that in the very, very beginning.
Yeah.
So, and then as you get on and you get like how this works and how it's this idea of not fighting anymore, but meditation just for the act of just sitting with whatever it is you're sitting with, not to make everything quiet and the discomfort go away. You'll see it becomes very different, and that you end up surprising yourself. You can do it for more than when you couldn't sit still in your own skin for 7 seconds. You can now build up time and be meditating for 10, 15, 20 minutes, just sort of sitting. Is that how it's working for you, Wayne? Is that Wayne, right?
Yep, definitely starting to, find that. And, you know, some days my brain's bombarding me and I just go, yep, whatever, and carry on.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and as soon as I finish, I'm like, wow, that's good.
Great, good. And what's your, do you have a goal down for your sheet?
I haven't actually got my sheet out or done any of that yet, but my biggest, well, the problem I've had all my life is going away, like travelling, mm-hmm. and it's not the flying. I don't care about flying. It's actually, you know, leaving. So I've actually been working on that before, deer. Didn't realise that I was actually gearing myself with not knowing how to deer properly. But, so that's my biggest goal, to be able to go to the other side of the world with minimal, you know, anxiety and know that I'm going to actually be safe. So that's my number one goal.
Okay. And now, what's something you can work on every day that will help you towards that? Because, again, we might have, like, bigger kind of, like,
yeah, because that's a hard thing. Yeah, that is my big, big thing, where my other issue was intrusive thoughts. So I can do those every day, idea all day long, basically, with those. So, they're a real bastard, but in the beginning it was like, shit, I wish I had a driving thing, because it'd be, you know, quite easy. And then I'm like, well, actually, I've got this in my head all the time, and I've got triggers everywhere I look, so I can actually deer more. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's, you know, real hard to do my deer, because it scares the crap out of me. And it's, you know, anyone who knew my deer would, well, other than you guys, would think I was totally and utterly creepy. So, I've been really, since the boot camp, knowing, yes, I'm doing the right thing. And,
mm-hmm.
And just talking with others on the group has just been amazing. Here, how they do, you know, talk to their thoughts and let their thoughts come in. And it's like, wow. And I think it was Jemana, and she said something the other day, and it was like, she's, you know, how she wrote her post the other day has changed the way I think about things, just like that. It is, mm-hmm. just getting that right thing that you understand at the right time.
Oh, wow. You hear that, Jamuna?
Yeah.
You're already helping everybody else.
Well, everyone is helping me, so thank you.
I can.
Funny, it's like with the thoughts, it's almost like it takes the soundtrack off from the background, right? You ever watch a movie with no soundtrack and it's weird? It's like not interesting, but when you put the music to it, it's so dramatic. That's sort of what this does. When you just let them be there, they just become thoughts. They're still weird and violent and gross or out there and
yeah,
things that you would that you don't like. But again, you don't have to like, but there's also nothing you really need to do about them either. You know, when you talk about going towards them, just a little note on the thoughts, because I know that seems to be the one thing that nobody loves talking about, heart palpitations or dizziness or, you know, or getting stuck somewhere. But the thoughts, nobody ever likes to talk about the thoughts because, I don't know, one of those things that, I don't know, people are maybe a little more quiet about that. But, you know, if I try and use the, I try to compare it to somebody like Stephen King. Everybody know who Stephen King is? Right, you know,
yeah.
Horror books. And I mean, somebody, I don't know him personally, but I would bet money that if he had any type of anxiety, it would have nothing to do with intrusive thoughts. Because he needs those thoughts. He looks for those thoughts. He wants thoughts like that because that's how he makes millions of dollars. You know, he wants a spontaneous thought to pop up in his head. For him, like for you, you might call that an intrusive thought. For him, he calls that inspiration, right? Oh, my God, what a great idea. A dog that goes crazy and kills people and a girl who just sets things on fire with her eyes and a car. I've read his books. But it's like, you know, the gorier and the more violent, the better. So if those thoughts pop up, go with it. You say, oh, my gosh, that would make a great horror movie. Wow, I wonder, what could I come up with next? Well, what could I come up with next? Oh, that's gross. Let's do that next. Again, it's not the thought. It's the fight of the thought. So go with it. Go write your own screenplay. Go write your own books. And that's the mindset you really want to take with the intrusive thought.
Cool.
Michelle, I have a couple of quick questions. One is the fact that you touched upon, you know, reading Stephen King. But
I can't hear you again, Jamuna. I'm sorry. You're is it just me or is she coming across like very?
No, she's crumbling.
Robot-y.
Yeah. Bad connection. Okay, let me try after someone else talks. I'll try with my phone with another instrument. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, you're very hard to understand. anybody else want to chime in? Yeah, sure.
This is Colleen from Pittsburgh.
Hi.
I guess I just wanted to say that thank you all so much again. This was great. And I actually started Daring back in August, like last summer. It's been almost a year. And I was doing fantastic. Around 7 months, I was doing great. And then I just had like the most horrendous setbacks, just very dizziness, you know, a lot of lightheadedness, constant just like vertigo symptoms, which just really, really scared me again. And I think I got so afraid of them. So that's really why I'm back here on the boot camp. And I've noticed just over the past like 2 weeks, my vertigo dizziness symptoms are just so like out of control. But I've been really trying to dare through them. And I'm standing there at work and I just feel like the room is spinning. And, you know, and I just keep saying, I feel like this mantra in my head, I constantly am just saying all of the steps in my head and just really trying to, I guess, you know, be comfortable in them. But I guess my question is like, I don't even know if it's a question, it's a comment. Like, my setback was so terrifying to me that I guess I am nervous that, you know, it's I'm going to have another setback and just fall right back to here where I am when I was doing so well before.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
and I know
that's a common one. Anybody else have that same comment or question or concern? Yeah.
Yes. I've had, I got something, hi, it's Zania from New Zealand. I had a thing called labyrinthitis, which I had for
2 years in a row, which sounds like what you're talking about, which is where it either feels like you're spinning or you're rocking on a boat.
Yeah.
But it's actually a viral infection, and it lasts for 6 weeks to 3 months. And it was an actual thing, and that's what triggered off my anxiety in the first place, because I had that labyrinthitis infection, and I was driving with it. And then I was having the panic attacks in the car because my brain was going, what the hell are you doing? You're driving and you're rocking like you're on a boat and it's spinning. You've got to get out of here kind of thing. And that's where it all started. But that was actually a diagnosed thing. I went and had physiotherapy for it and nausea tablets to stop the nausea because it makes you feel like throwing up. But it wasn't actually anxiety. So have you checked, have you gone and checked with the doctor that it is actually not, like to scratch that off the list kind of thing?
I really haven't, just because this is just a new symptom I've had. This is just brand new, like I said, 7 months ago, and I feel fine. I've been to the doctor for other things, and I'm always having a great checkup. I get nervous to go to doctor, so I don't think it is. I truly believe it is my anxiety. I just, to me, I'm like, how can that happen? How can you get so dizzy from just anxiety? I just can't comprehend, but.
Well, vertigo, it could be, a lot of times it's an inner ear thing, and they might take a look at things that they wouldn't just normally see at a physical. That being said, anxiety is the fight of the sensation, not the sensation, right? So, and it's funny, one of the group calls for the Dare Advance group, Scott, I don't know, have you anybody heard any of those recordings? Do you know the name Patrick yet? He's a great guy to listen to on the group calls on Dare Advance. So anyway, he coaches girls basketball, and one of the players had this thing with she had some condition that she'd just pass out sometimes. And, for a lot of people on the call and for him, it's like, what do you mean you just pass out? That's like my biggest freaking nightmare. And, but her response to it, like she would, if she didn't have enough of whatever she needed, she would pass out. And sometimes it would be during the basketball game. And, he was explaining the story. He says, she just sort of passed out. And she went up to the side and sat down. And she came up, she goes, okay, I'm okay now. I can come back in. And, he's like, and me, I'm like, what? You need to sit. You need to rest. What if you pass out again? And what if the... And to her, it was, it's no big deal. Sometimes I just pass out. And if I pass out, I pass out. But, for us, it's not just our senses don't end with the period. It just goes, it's ellipses. It goes dot, 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 dot. What if into the future? So, again, a little bit off on a tangent, but sometimes the sensations just are sensations. And you may just have vertigo. Anxiety is in the fight of the vertigo. And and the associations you make with the vertigo, like, oh, every time I walk in this bank, it's something about this bank, or something about, it must be the air in Costco or Walmart. It's always Walmart for some reason.
It's Walmart.
Walmart, right?
I'm laughing because, yes, Walmart does it to me all the time.
So is Walmart or like the big stores, like the BJ's or the Costco?
Costco's, yeah.
Costco, yep.
Yeah,
and
terrifying.
Honestly, to me, I do think there's got to be something with even just, they are big, high ceilings. They're big, big box stores, right? So I would guess that if somebody actually went and did an experiment, like the air quality is different, the sound is different, the air pressure is different. And for some of us who may be more tuned into those changes and more sensitive to those changes, when you walk into a store like that, you might get a little more dizzy or adjusting to the change from one environment to another environment and much more sensitive to it than other people. But again, that's still not the problem is the fight of that.
Right.
So taking that, all right, well, I guess I got vertigo. I've just been around all day. And if you just go with it, that's just leaving the sensation as a sensation. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much so. Thank you.
Colleen, do you drink quite a lot of water?
I do. Yes, I don't eat any wheat. I drink no alcohol. I don't eat sugar.
Yeah.
I've completely changed my diet for like the last 7 years. So I eat about as clean as you can, and I drink so much water. Yes.
I'm the same too. But I do notice if I do get a bit dehydrated, I can get more. Like I feel, I'll feel like there's an earthquake.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if any of you guys know what they feel like. So I will get that slight vertigo-y thing, but I have got it naturally. It is a little bit of a family history thing with our family, but I do know anxiety makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you just got to realize, it's real hard, to be walking around lopsided and a bit woozy.
Mm-hmm.
And go, oh, yeah, that's what that is. Yeah, and carry on. It's hard, but, yeah.
Yeah. That's the word, carry on, right? Just carry on.
Exactly.
Especially if you know you're not. Yeah. So has it ever caused you anything happened from it?
No, I've never fainted before.
Have you fallen over or?
A couple times I've had to hang onto the wall at my work, and just sometimes just I feel like I scale the wall a lot, which it's just a strange feeling, but I've not ever fainted or passed out, no.
Yeah. So when you've been driving, do you have it while you're driving?
No, not usually.
Yeah. So I'm the same. So I've had huge bouts of it. And I can remember one stage when I was actually away overseas, and I had it from just flying and doing everything, and it made me get into that vertigo way. And I knew I was bad because, one day I couldn't even go shopping, so I was like, there's got to be something wrong with me. But when I found I was in the car, I didn't have it. So it is like a motion sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that there is very good chiropractors. Natural, and osteo probably better than chiropractor, and they do, they can fix vertigo, so they know how to do your scalp and release things to stop that.
Okay, thank you.
That could be something that you could look at, rather than going to your doctor, is, go and or look around and talk to people about a good osteopath and trying that way for you.
Okay, thank you so much. I agree. I was actually thinking of doing that tonight because I've been getting acupuncture for it, and they suggested I go to a chiropractor, so yes.
Yeah. Well, osteo, who can do it? It's cranial is what you want, and you can do cranial for vertigo.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy.
Yeah.
Hi, Michelle. Can you hear me now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, Jamuna. Can you just give me one? I just want to comment on that one, on the new sensation, just before I forget. That is something to keep in mind moving forward. If you have a new sensation that sort of pops up out of the blue and it's just hanging around, there's nothing wrong with getting it checked out. I know on the last call we talked about, going to the doctor a million times a week. It's always like, happy moderation. Shades of gray, people, right? Shades of gray. So, something new pops up. There's nothing wrong with just getting it checked just for the sake of this is something new. Oh, I'm having vertigo for no particular reason out of the blue. Oh, I got it checked up. Okay. Oh, I actually have an inner ear thing, or I have something going on, or I don't. But at least physically that's done, because it's not about what's physically happening. It's about the fight of whatever's happening. So just to put that, I generally recommend that, too. If somebody's having something that's kind of new, not because I actually think there's something wrong with you, but for peace of mind, it's, okay, well, that's good to know that I'm still okay. Your alarm might still be a little tuned into it, and that good old adrenaline rush does magnify everything that's out there because it wants to make sure that you notice everything. It's the same thing as trying to eat healthy. If I decided I'm going to eat healthy and exercise and, wash my hands when I shake other people's hands because I had a really bad flu a couple years ago, and I'm going to make sure I I do my best to not have that come back, and I do everything right. I take vitamins. Guess what? At some point in my life, I'm still going to get sick, right? I'm going to get something.
Yep.
I'm going to get a call. Nobody calls it a health setback or look to see what they did wrong, you know? So sometimes we're so tough on ourselves when it comes to this. It doesn't have to be called a – it's not necessarily a setback. It's health. You know, you've got something going on physically that you really don't like. And that's okay, too. And moving forward, just to go back to answer your original, like, what if it pops up again? It's the more you really practice, like, consciously looking for the discomfort and finding ways throughout the day to be uncomfortable. When the discomfort does come, it might take a little more work at not fighting and applying the steps of dare, but this will be your new go-to response. You know what I mean? Rather than, oh, I was finally comfortable for a few days or for a few months. Oh, no, now the discomfort is back, and still the only response I know is how to fight. And there's the fight, and there's the anxiety, and there goes the cycle. So now it's when, like, discomfort comes back or something happens that gets the alarms going again, you'll see as time goes on, and if you really kind of keep it in the forefront of your mind, it becomes another one of just those things. And you'll start using that word more too. Oh, well, it's just anxiety. Well, of course, I just got a new job and, you know, my husband's sick and I have to travel and I have five stressors going on at once. So I'm on high alert. So I'm expecting all these sensations and I'm expecting this discomfort. But with all of this new information I have now I know my fire is going, but I'm just going to let it burn itself out. It might take a couple of days, it might take a couple of weeks, but I know that there's nothing more for me to do than just that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That new approach?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Jamuna, so are you back? Are you back in non?
Yes, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Okay. I think so.
Can you hear me?
Okay,
I'll try.
A little better.
Okay. I have two questions. One is because, you know, in terms of setting goals, since I don't have an issue of flying or driving or those kind of things, and my issue is general anxiety and you know, if sort of interspersed with intrusive thoughts. So one is I need to understand what would be the kind of goals I should set. The second is in terms of the habits, there are a list of things. And, you know, I mean, to be practical, one can't do all of them. So is there a priority on those? And more importantly, one of them, which is being off caffeine, is a little hard because I love my couple of cups of tea a day. I'm a good Indian. So I just want to know how to deal with, you know, these two things.
Yeah. Okay. And it's okay. I'm a good Italian, so I drink red wine. But,
right.
Yeah, I'll answer your second question first, and then if anybody else would like to chime in too, please feel free. But, like, really getting – if I want to teach you how to swim, I would much rather teach you in a pool than in an ocean in the middle of a storm, right? So it's trying to keep the environment as calm as possible, right, for the most part, without any unnecessary extra stressors. So that's why – the alcohol goes, the caffeine goes, the extra sugar goes. And overall, it's good to not have all of those things, right? It's great to cut back on all of that. But most people, once they really get how this works, they go back to adding in bits and pieces of their older lifestyle. Some people do like a cup of coffee in the morning, or tea in the afternoon, or a glass of wine at night. It's that's being so black and white. And when you have that cup of tea, you might feel that extra caffeine from it. But once you sort of get how this works, it becomes almost like it just doesn't matter, like a shrug. Like, oh, of course I feel more jittery. I just had a cup of tea. It's not a panic attack or anxiety or a monster. It's tea. It's just tea. And I don't have to do anything about it anymore. And if I drink a beer or a glass of wine or have a drink at night, oh, okay, I'm just going to make sure I have a drink of water after this so I don't get dehydrated. And if I drink too much, wake up the next morning, and I feel like I got hit by a train, it becomes just a hangover rather than a hangover and, oh, my gosh, I'm dying, and what if I have a stroke, and I think I'm having a heart attack, and I need, you know, a panic attack after panic attack. Anybody relate to either of those two scenarios?
Yep.
Yeah.
But you see how, like, working things back in, you don't have to, it's so hard, like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing, right? It's not all, like, we're not
and
all
decaf,
cookie cutters. So.
If decaf tea, decaf tea is good.
Right.
I think that's better, although if you ask other people, it's still got caffeine and then the caffeine taken out, and I don't know. All I know is that if there's something that's adding more, like, stimulus to you, and you're still sort of learning how to swim, well, just keep practicing on the calm waters until you've really learned how to swim. And then some people do work that back into their lifestyle, and if you're fine with that, then go for it. It goes the other way, too, also. Like, with, let's say, look at the opposite side of that with medication, right? A lot of people start the program or are on this program on some sort of medication. Again, keeps the waters calm for the most part. And then as they realize, oh, I don't care if the waters get a little rough. I can swim. I don't need to control the waves. I just had to teach myself how to swim. The waves can come and go. I'm a good swimmer now. So you'll see people start over time tapering off medication under their doctor's, you know, guidance once you realize I don't need the calm. I just need the strength. And I'm getting strength by being in the waves. That make sense? So
yep.
working
yep.
tea back in, you know, have a beer, things like, if that's something that you really want to do and you're fine with that, and again, expect your body to be different. That's kind of why you have tea to begin with, right? Or it's kind of what you like, how it tastes, you like how it feels, that, you know, but it's expect change. We don't like change. Our alarm picks up on all of our changes, right? Sometimes we feel too uncomfortable. Sometimes we feel too good, and our alarm rings for that, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, something must be yeah. wrong with me. I feel too good. There must be a problem.
Yeah.
But, Jamuna, to your first question, I would just pick a goal. Just pick one. I would just arbitrarily pick one that you'd like to work on, that you think you would like to see change with, or that you feel like you can make the most progress on, that would help boost your confidence. And something that you could really do every day. So if it's like thoughts, like sitting quietly by myself with my cup of tea for 20 minutes in a quiet room, just me and my thoughts. And I'm just going to sort of watch them go down the river, and I'll just identify them and look at them and give them a nod, watch them go down, look back up river and watch the next one come down. Some I will like, some I will don't like. And I'm just learning how to not fight that. I mean, that's just an example, but does that make sense? Is that something you can adjust?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. In fact, that's a good example you've taken, because the question I'd ask is, you know, is that good or bad? I don't know, because, you know, to call out your thoughts, I mean, while it helped me, and, you know, Tony also felt it helped her, I'm not sure if that's the right thing to do, not the right thing to do, I don't know.
They're your thoughts. You can do whatever you want with them, you know. Play with them all.
Is it all right to actually call them out?
Is it all right
when you're feeling a little bit normal, when you go, ooh, and so you think, oh, I'm feeling a bit normal here, so let's, I think I get stuck in with them when I'm checking in, or if I'm trying, because I do a lot of checking in still.
Yeah,
with
same
my
thing,
thoughts,
you know,
to see if I get a reaction. So
right. Mhm.
Yeah. So I get a little bit mixed up, you know, because sometimes I can feel the thoughts gonna pop in. So I think, mm-hmm. I'll beat it to it, and
good.
I'll say
okay.
the thought before. So that's, you know, calling it out. Is that, you know, that's what me and Jemana have been doing. Is that a good thing?
Sure. I hate good and bad. You know, it's. What you want to do is just get used to the things that start getting more accustomed to things that you've been trying to keep at bay and been fighting against for so
yeah.
long. So if it's
yeah.
if it's a thought,
yeah,
hang out with your thoughts. If it's a bunny rabbit, get a bunny rabbit farm. You know, go immerse yourself in it. I know a lot of people know what exposure therapy is, and I'll have people that come on that say, I tried exposure therapy and I failed miserably. It didn't work. Because you're some people are exposing themselves but still hanging on and fighting through the entire exposure. It's about going and being around whatever it is you didn't like, but just sort of floating with it, like letting go and just observing it and floating with it rather than surviving through it. So something you don't like, go spend more time with it, in a nutshell.
Michelle, I just wanted to add something. This is Wasim speaking. I can sort of relate to what Jamuna is saying and what everyone else has been saying. One of my goals would be to continue the daily meditation for, like, say, at least 10 minutes a day. Because I find that when I do it, I still have this inner resistance. Like, I can feel this thing inside me that's still resisting. Just watching, being able just to watch things and not react to it. And I found that, you know, the Barry's video, that, you know, the one that he sent on day 4, the one with the little universe and the star in the middle, and coming to acceptance with your anxious thoughts and feelings was really helpful. And doing the meditations was good, but I feel like if I can do the meditation and be okay with feeling anxious and feeling a bit lightheaded and just feeling a bit dazed, then that means that when I go about my normal day-to-day activities, I can take that acceptance from that and put it into practice in daily life.
Right, right. Absolutely. It's like gym time, right? It's like you're going to go to the gym to get stronger so that, let's say, you're walking down the street and you have to do something that involves strength. It'll be a little easier because you've already built up that strength. Is that what you're saying, right? When it's going to go and practice so that when I'm out in the world and these sensations pop up and these thoughts pop up, you now have the tools and the confidence. I mean, that's your biggest tool, your confidence. And all these techniques are to grow your confidence. So basically, again, like I know I said this on the last call, everything that we're saying and getting at is really to just teach people how to do nothing. Nothing to do. Yeah. But I don't like it. Well, all right, well, you're still experiencing it. So it's do nothing, and your body's in charge of your body. And let your brain pop up whatever thoughts it wants to pop up. It's just learning how to let go. And again, if you tend to, you know, your initial response is resistance, fine. But now your power always is your second response. So you might initially say, oh, I don't know about this. But then your second response could be, it's okay. Your alarm still might be ringing, but that's okay too.
Mm.
The other day I had the most intense feeling of fear and the most intense feeling of like that derealization and weirdness, and just woke up feeling that way. And my husband went out running, and he had a heart attack a couple of weeks ago. So that was not running, he went out walking, sorry. So that was a bit freaky. I think probably my head was, and it was at that moment, because I'm afraid of driving, that I thought, okay, I'm going to go for a drive to see what happens when I feel my worst, and I just do it anyway. And it was really amazing because I went and I drove my son around, and we went around and we did some stuff, and then I was feeling really pretty anxious, and then it just melted away, and I was like, oh, actually, I could do, I don't, at the time when I felt at my worst, if I ran towards it, it was totally fine.
Oh, somebody, okay, I think that's
weird.
Fine. that's excellent mindset, because what that does is we have so many associations, right? And we always try to see what caused this, so I don't do it anymore, right? And it's, oh, it's the car, or I can do these things while I'm having like high anxiety, but I definitely can't do those things because that'll make it worse, right? Like, okay, I'll go into my bedroom, but I definitely won't go to my neighbor's house, right? We put all these, like, I know, and when you say it out loud and you start thinking about it, you're like, oh my God, you're right. That doesn't make any sense. And that's, again, this doesn't follow a path of logic, and it doesn't follow like common sense. It just follows what you show it based on your reaction, is this safe or not? So going on and saying, oh, well, I'm uncomfortable, but I can be uncomfortable and lay in my bed. I can also be uncomfortable and go for a drive. One has nothing to do with the other. And that's what you're showing your alarm. Say, I don't have to, again, stay home and be calm and relax until the discomfort goes away. Then I'm safe to go and do something when I feel better. And, right? You want to do the opposite. It's, wow, I am uncomfortable. Now what? Well, now nothing. Now I'm just going to continue about my life. And I'll be uncomfortable. And when the discomfort settles down on its own, so be it.
So do any of you other guys find when you do get into the comfortable zone that then you start to check in to see if it's still lurking around?
Yep, definitely. And it just takes, and as soon as you do that, it takes one thought. And
yep, and you're in the loop.
On.
Yep. But it's funny, the first time I meditated and I was so calm afterwards, I'm like, this doesn't feel right. And then it just started escalating that I shouldn't feel this calm. Where's that voice, right? Where's this anxious thoughts?
Yeah. So I figured out the other day that it's just all like we don't have a problem driving or going away or whatever. It's the anxiety that has made us believe we have a problem with driving. Is that correct, Michelle?
Yeah. It's so weird. It's like this other little universe, right? It's like I never had a problem until I told myself I had a problem, and now I had a problem, but there was no problem before, right?
Hello, Michelle.
Hello. Yes.
I'm Rahul from India.
Hi, Rahul. How are you?
I am good. This is my first boot call. Boot camp
call. Oh, welcome.
Welcome
on. I think you have some background noise by you. That might be you. Are you on by a plane? The last call, somebody was had a plane coming towards them, I think.
My English is poor, and I can make mistake while talking. Please ignore it. And hello.
Hello. Hi, Raul. Are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes. The background noise is still there.
It's better, I think. It's better. Thank you.
I have intrusive thoughts in my mind all time. And I just want to ask you that whenever intrusive thoughts comes to me and I don't make a eye contact to talk a person, I'm just talking that person at that time, and then intrusive thoughts comes at that time, and I cannot make eye contact with that person to talk, and I feel frustrated at that time, and what should I do at that time? I want to know.
Yeah, I know it does. It's a little harder. I think most people find it harder. It's hard enough to deal with all this on your own, right? And then you're trying to hold a conversation with somebody else at the same time. Anybody agree?
Yeah.
Deal with the storm in your brain, and then talk about who played well last night, and you have any idea what I'm doing in my head right now. But Raul, did you just come on just these last few minutes, or were you on earlier when we were talking about thoughts?
What did you say?
Have you been on the call from the beginning, or did you just come on the last few minutes of the call?
I joined just last few minutes.
Oh, okay. So we did talk about intrusive thoughts a little earlier. What's nice is that afterwards, when John posts the call, you can go back and listen to the recording.
Okay.
So,
okay. I just have one question also. That actually I have tried you. I think you might heard of Linden method. I have tried almost 3.5 years. It works little bit for me, and but still have some problem. I improved little bit, but I just want to know how much it will take time to recover. A month, 6 months, 10 months, an year for full recovery. I just want to know.
Oh, you asked my golden question. Everybody asks. There's always somebody that asks me that question. I know you all want to ask me that question, right? How long do I have to do this for until I actually just go away? But the Linden method, yeah, I haven't heard that in a long time. I remember looking into it when I first started working with Barry, because that was like one of the other popular kind of programs. But I don't know, I don't remember a whole lot of it, but I remember when I did read it, there were some techniques that involved like a lot of distraction, I think. I don't want to quote it wrong, but I think there were a lot of things to do to sort of distract yourself. And to me, that's always the kicker. If you're distracting yourself from something, you're basically sending this message to your alarm that, oh, don't think about that for some reason. That's bad, I don't like it, it needs to go away. But with this, I mean, I say if you're going to do one program, do one program, because different programs might conflict with each other and contradict each other, and then it gets confusing. Do I do this or do I do that? That's why the concept is there. It's really just, it's about not resisting, not fighting, not controlling. And if this is your first call, so you missed the first three calls, I would definitely go back and listen. Have you heard the recordings of them? Have you gone back to listen to the first three?
I have listened first recording. I didn't listen second.
Okay, definitely go back, because it's like I was saying much earlier in the call. This is all about making and maintaining good habits. That's really, when it all boils down to it, what it is. It's not about, you know, beating this monster or eliminating this discomfort. It's about creating a new habit, which is really your new response, which is not fighting. So think of any other habit that you put into place. I know for my simple examples, I usually tell people, learn how to say the alphabet backwards. How long does that take you to do? And how long did you practice? How much effort did you put into practicing the alphabet backwards? Are you doing it, 30 minutes a day, every day, always looking for an opportunity to practice? Or are you, I don't really want to do anything until it comes up? Or I had somebody come on once, I read like 15 pages of the book like 3 months ago, and I tried one of these things and it didn't work, so can you tell me what else I should do? And go read the rest of the book. But it's just like forming any sort of habit, like learning a new language, like playing the piano. If you're going to learn a new response to something that you already have a set response to, it does take time. So it's so hard to say.
But isn't the point that we're not, in a way, we are trying to get rid of it? It's like
exactly.
We're inviting anxiety to be our best friend. So in a way, we're saying it's always going to be with us. So never
right.
Expecting it to go away.
Right. But it's basically like learning how, until it's just sort of becomes second. To me, like the end all to this, the freedom is when you have that shift that your automatic response is not fighting, right? The alarm still rings, the discomfort still comes and goes, and that is all okay. And to me, the end of it is when you become okay with it, when it doesn't mean, when it's not this death and destruction monster anymore. It becomes, not a fight. And all about this is learning how to not fight. So the more you do it every day throughout the day and really just immerse yourself into it. Again, I could take a Spanish class for 30 minutes every week, or I can move to Spain, right? And just live there. And it's hard and it's difficult, but once you immerse yourself in something, we're all pretty much built the same way. You have no choice but to learn it, right? I mean, everybody learns the language that they were taught initially. If you want to learn a new one, really the best and quickest way to go about it is to completely immerse yourself into it. And you know, be honest with yourself. Say, you know, am I really doing this 100%? Are there things I'm holding back on? Okay, let's write down these things I'm holding back on, and those will be my goals. Those will be some of my goals. I'm gonna have my regular goals that I'm setting and maintaining habits, and I'm also gonna have, you know, some big leaps of faith where I'm gonna, you know, jump on the train and take it to the next stop, and I haven't been on the train in 10 years. Just to sort of bring it on and call it fluff and just constantly keep practicing it being uncomfortable. So, Raul, again, sorry, I'm very long-winded, but it's about how often you practice. I mean, a lot of people see results when it comes to panic attacks. Basically, the idea, again, like we were saying before, it's not about elimination. It's about learning how to not fight discomfort. So sometimes people just get it right off the bat. A lot of times it takes weeks, months. But it's really about doing it regularly enough that the ultimate end of it is that it sort of starts to go away when you don't care if it's still there. When you don't care that it's gone, in a very roundabout way.
Okay, thank you.
Not sure if that
can
makes
I just
sense
in for a minute?
Yeah,
Hello? Just for Raro, with your intrusive thoughts and then having them when you're talking to someone, what I found is I was the same. I couldn't look them in their eye, so I started to look them in their eye and have all the thoughts coming through and just say in my mind, yeah, you go for it. You give me everything, and like nothing actually happens to you. You might have a hot flash or a sensation, but you actually think, well, shit, I'm not actually that person.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you look into people's faces and actually have contact, the more you realize how much you've actually missed out on being in a conversation or. Yeah, it's hard to say, but it is. Yeah, I think we've all missed out on so much because of anxiety. And
yeah,
and it's once you start peeling, you know, Barry says peel back those onions, and it's like, wow, you know, your eyes are open. You think, oh shit, you know, I'm going to look at that person today, and I'm really going to look at them. And you know, for me, that's a trigger for me. So it's like, oh, where's my trigger? Where's it gone?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not, you know, mine's Lucy Lemon, so it's like, come on, Lucy Lemon, what are you doing? Yeah, and then, you know, and then she can pop up in the most horriblest places, but it is, yeah, you've just, you know, got to keep pushing it. And,
right, but remember, that's why she does pop up in those places, because if you say, oh, gosh, horrible place, don't happen, there's that little resistance, and she's just saying, here I am, you called, you're fighting something, you called, yeah, I'm fighting you, oh, here's some more energy to fight me. That's the power.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I had a question. I was just wondering if this is normal where, so like the DARE response works for me, like for most anxiety, like the general anxiety and stuff, like 70%, 80% of it. But then when it comes, like when an actual, like full on panic attack starts, like I forget everything. Like it just doesn't, I completely can't remember DARE, like forget it. Like, is that normal?
Oh, yeah, especially in the beginning. Anybody have that experience too? Like when it sort of hits you out of the blue, right? It throws you for a loop.
Yeah.
Because again, it doesn't work on logic. Your alarm does not care about logical statistics, and 80% of the time it works right. But if it says, if it's triggered and it's just saying, fight, 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 I don't care, I am surviving, get the hell out of there. And that's usually what your response is, right? Fight, flee, right? You click into survival mode. I promise, though, the more you practice and the more you, like, take on that role of a hunter rather than waiting for it to come, like, if you can, are there specific things that you could probably do or go to or think about that could bring on, like, more panic? Do you have, like, specific triggers?
Yeah, either, going, like, the farther I go from home or, like, if I'm, like, far away from my car somewhere.
Perfect. Perfect, because you know what I'm going to tell you to do now, right? Park wherever you are and walk to my house.
Yeah.
With the mindset of looking for it. Where are you? I am looking for discomfort. Some people have it written on an index card. Diffuse, allow, run towards, engage.
So I've done that, like, over the last 10 days. Like, I've pushed and stuff, but I didn't actually get a panic attack to come. I just need to, like, push harder then. Because, like, using the dare, like, worked, but it worked, like, too good to where a panic attack wouldn't start.
Right.
I found that when a panic attack kicked in, when I was in the car and I knew I could feel it coming, it was like impending doom, I'd just yell out really loud, "Fucking bring it on! Come on! Bring it to me!" And I'd start demanding it to just make me feel like shit and just... I would be literally yelling in my car whilst driving, and people probably thought I was a complete nutter. But the more I demanded of it and yelled at it and said, "Come on, bring it on," it didn't deliver.
Yeah, and I know we all have very creative brains, and I'm sure I know I get so many examples of people like that. Say, like, oh, how I picture this in my head, and I picture this, and I do this. So get creative in your head. Something that sets the scene of again, like, because it's such a paradox, it's like remembering to do the opposite. Like I said on the last call, when your sleeve catches on fire, your instinct is not stop, drop, and roll. That's why they ingrain it in your head from a little child, right? Most people don't drop to the floor and roll around. That's just not a normal response. Your normal response is to, you know, flare your arms around and go, "Oh, my shirt's on fire," which is worse. You get more on fire. So that's why it's ingraining. Stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop, and roll. Again, your initial response might be throw your arms up, but then that second response is, no, wait, stop, drop, and roll. And when it comes to this, it's your initial response might be fight, but then you'll see. Time, you'll start to slow down the time a little bit. It doesn't seem like it now. I know when most people start and it's like those panic attacks come out of the blue, it's out of nowhere. Bam! Right? And I just couldn't do anything and I was scrambling and I just, you know, went back to my old pattern. As time goes on, you'll be able to start, you'll have a little more time to play with. You'll start noticing, even like, right, it doesn't just go from 0 to 10. It might be, oh, wow, oh, suddenly I'm at a 5. Oh, 6, 7, right? You get some more time, but the more you put yourself in this observer role and this hunter role so that you can put the techniques in place. And that's why DARE is the name of DARE. If you can't remember what to do, right there, DARE, right? Bring it on, God, I dare you. I dare you. Go ahead, give me your word. Again, with this idea of it's not the discomfort, it's the fight of the discomfort. And the more, again, the more you really, like, listen to the audios and go back and reread the book and get on the calls and talk and talk and talk, this is going to start becoming your new response. Okay, so at some point, it'll take a lot of work, and at some point, it will start to come naturally. But it does take practice. So go out and try and get that panic attack. Even if it doesn't come, you went towards it with your arms open, and that's the same practice.
I think there's a lot of noise. I can barely hear.
What? Oh, is it Raul? Raul, your fault, Raul. Are you noisy?
Yeah, he's noisy. I think you have to put your mute on.
Let's see if it's okay. If you put yourself on mute and it gets...
Raul?
Are
Are you on mute? Oh, see, now he can't even tell us if he's on mute. I think he's on mute.
I think he's at a butcher's.
Yep.
And
he's
in
on
India
mute.
Somewhere with a noisy street.
That's you.
That's you. Hey. Has he gone?
Yeah. See, now, Jamuna, you're off the hook. Now you just threw Verlu under the bus. Yeah, no, I could see on the screen he's on mute, so.
Oh, okay.
So, Raul, you can still hear us if you'd like to chime in. Feel free to unmute and chat. So, any last comments or questions or anything that you still feel confused about or that wasn't answered now that the program's coming to an end? I do have to wind up the call. Or anybody that didn't get a chance to jump in, anybody wants to come on and give any sort of feedback or have a specific goal or question before we finish up?
I wanted to ask a question if no one else.
Who? I'm sorry?
This is Wasim. I was wanting to ask a question. If someone who hasn't spoken wants to ask something.
I'm sorry. Is that Raul? Is that you? Are you back on?
Yeah, I think he's. Yeah, I think Raul's on mute.
I'm sorry. I just clicked the mute button for you. I think I just muted you, so I'm very, very sorry. But we can't hear. I'm sorry. Who was talking about the last? Who was just speaking?
Wasim here.
Wasim, hi.
Yeah, hello. Just a quick one. I don't know if anyone else in the call can relate to this, but I guess one thing that I find quite tricky sometimes is being super harsh on myself. And really criticizing myself to the point where it triggers that whole anxiety and derealization thing, and I'm not sure whether you'd consider it sort of an intrusive thought or anyone else can relate to it. So for example, like for the sake of example, like I try and wake up early to have a more productive day, and then there are some days where that doesn't happen if I've worked late or like last few days I've been feeling a bit sick. So I try to get, a bit more sleep and end up waking a bit late. But then I find that it's a real battle when I get up that, there's this thing in my head which is just criticizing me the whole time. And it's like, why'd you do this? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do this? Why'd you do this? I know it sounds crazy, but it makes me feel like I'm going crazy, and it brings on those anxious feelings. Like I get real tense and everything, and I have been trying to apply the deer response to those sort of things as well. I don't know if anyone else has any experience with a similar.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
You're
all here.
Hello.
Is he still here? No, he's cutting in now.
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right.
Yes,
he's very
fine. We hear you.
Yeah, I'd probably say that we're all a bit like that, and we're hence why we've probably got anxiety, because we're so bloody hard on ourselves and don't give ourselves enough credit for what we go through, and we don't like fail. You're failing ourselves or anything else.
Yeah, and that's why I really like the group calls, and for people, I would really suggest moving forward with the group calls, because we tend to be our own worst critics. But for all these years I've run these group calls since 2009, I have not had one incident between members on a group call. And in a group setting, that's like unheard of for all of this time. Not one. It's because everybody is just so empathetic, right? So like kind, and we get it, and just so supportive to each other. We're just the opposite to ourselves. So the more you join in and offer support and participate in the group calls, that starts trickling into the back of your brain as well. And not only are you hearing it from other people, you start hearing your self-talk. And when you realize everybody really kind of has the same story, it might sound different on the surface level, but because everybody's catching on, it's all pretty much the same. It's the same common threads. And sometimes we have to practice speaking kindly to other people in order to kind of practice speaking that way to ourselves. We have to pretend almost like we're talking to a stranger until we get used to being kind to ourselves. It's usually not the case with, you know, our little family of dare people. It's because we can always do better. Okay, great. We got a 98% on the test. What happened to the other 2%, right? That's us. But, you know, it's learning how to take on that other piece, that that side that says, oh, like, I'm worth it. I deserve happiness. I deserve to be kind to myself. I should be nicer to myself than I am to anybody else because I'm with me till the end. And we tend to not talk that way to ourselves. Years ago, the group members decided they were going to start a challenge. Actually, Patrick, the same man I mentioned before, he mentioned that this was going to be one of his goals, that he was going to look in the mirror every day for 5 minutes and say, like, just positive things about himself. 5 minutes. Right? Tangible, achievable. So he came back on the next week. He goes, that was ridiculous. He goes, 5 minutes? He goes, I hit 12 seconds and I ran out of things to say. And it really opened up a whole conversation on, just learning how to speak so kindly. And he's somebody on the call who could tell you how wonderful you are for 15 minutes. And it really takes practice sometimes to be kind to yourself. The last type of boot camp sort of call that we had run, we had 1 week that was really based on the skills and the techniques. Like DARE, it was called the One Move. It was called the One Move at the time, but basically the steps of DARE for 1 week. And then the third week was called the Emotional Week, which after going through that program quite a few times with everybody, I realized that week is just as important, if not more so, than putting the techniques in place. It's about how you talk to yourself about it afterwards. I have people that they could have gone to the moon and said, but if their perception of it was, yeah, well, all right, so what? I went to the moon, but, you know, I could have done it a little happier. Like, it just lost, all the effects that they would have had when somebody else with a whole different mindset saying, you know what, I was going to go to the mailbox, but I just couldn't make it. But you know what? I stepped out of my door, and I haven't left my house in a long time. So I'm so happy and proud of myself. Good for me. Well, that person might as well have gone to the moon based on how they spoke to themselves. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yep.
It's bringing that yahoo back into yourself. Like, you know, and high five myself. And it is actually looking in the mirror and telling yourself you love yourself. And then I think your thoughts and the way you get frustrated and think you're, you know, bloody useless and can't do whatever, that changes, because that was me. And, you know, being a hairdresser, perfectionist. So when I have all this other crap popping in, it's like, yeah, what? Yeah. So it is that whole, you know, it's in the book. It has that section on love, and it's like, man, I think that's been a real big changer for me. And when I'm talking with others on DEAR and everything, I try and, high five yourself. And, big high fives. I think it is just changing. Nope, when I have those thoughts, no, I'm not that person. Yeah.
Right. And it's awkward, right? In the beginning, it's weird if you're not used to talking to yourself that way, but keep going. That's what change is made in the discomfort. So if you're uncomfortable talking that way to yourself, keep doing it.
Yeah. When I was going to sleep at night, just over and over and over in my head, I love myself, I love myself, and you sing it in your head, and then you're off to sleep.
Right. Because honestly, you can't do that enough. I mean, it's not like you can do that too much. What is the absolute worst thing that could happen if you talked kindly to yourself all day long? I mean, what is the worst thing that could happen?
More happy.
Right. I mean, we're the best at the worst case scenarios. What's the worst possible thing that could happen if you spoke kindly to yourself all day long?
I wouldn't even know. You feel better? That's probably the worst thing that would happen.
Feel better and possibly have a small little smirk on the corner of your smile on your face.
Yeah. Well, everybody, I do have to get off. But I wanted to say it was so wonderful speaking to everybody. And if you do continue on with Dear Advanced, you'll be stuck with me too. I run those calls with Barry as well. Suzanne will be on the Facebook page. It's the same little family. It's just moved on to, you know, you get to meet all your cousins now. You have an extended family out there. So if you'd like to sign up, go right ahead. You know, you can contact, you know, customer support or Barry and, or, you know, right through the main website page. There's, you know, a section for Dare Advanced. Even just for a month or so, I always recommend to do it. Not that we're making $1 million off of everybody, but it's a nice step transition, you know, to, you've had such intensive support for 10 days. It'd be nice to have a transition. And then some people stick around, some people don't, and that's fine too. Some people pop in now and then just to say hi. That's great as well. But it was an absolute pleasure working with everybody. And I am on the Facebook pages, so feel free. Oh, I should say, I'm not always on signed into those Facebook pages. I do have to sign in and out. The best way to contact me, if anybody does need to get in touch with me, is through email. Either if somebody wants to set a one-to-one call, you can do it through.